morning. Pray for Pastor as he preaches, and pray that folks will be saved, okay? Anyone else? If not, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to call on you. And Lord, I was listening today to this week to a message about how that prayer is one of the blessings that we have as a Christian that we use the least. And I've been guilty of that. And so, Lord, I'm sorry for that, but I'm so thankful that we can bow our head, mention your name, and we have your ear. We have the ear of the God of the universe, the one who created us, the one who designed everything, the one who knows every situation, every heart, every health issue, the one who can control everything. So, Lord, we acknowledge that, and we ask and we call on you today. Thank you, Lord, for those that are having anniversaries this month. Lord, what a wonderful testament and what a beautiful picture of Christ and the church as a marriage, Lord. Especially many marriages that we have represented in this room that they have some longevity to it. Lord, they've leaned on you and they've trusted in you and they've stuck it out. And they're reaping that blessing, Lord, of longevity in marriage. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the anniversaries. Thank you for birthdays. Lord, seems sometimes that birthdays get passed over and ignored, and some of us don't want to remember a birthday, but Lord, a birthday is a wonderful thing. And thank you for birthdays. Thank you for celebration. Thank you for happiness in you. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless these folks this month. Lord, we pray for Phyllis Thornton recovering from surgery. Lord, I pray that you would be with her and that you would touch her body and help her to recover. We pray for this Summer Wells, Lord. She's been missing for 11 days. You know exactly where she's at. Lord, I pray that you would perform that miracle and that you would help in that situation, Lord, as only you can. May it be in such a way that everyone surrounding this situation would say, only God could have done this. And Lord, I pray that you would be with them. We praise you for Caleb. Now that he's off oxygen and off the trach tube, still in rehab, I pray that you'd be with him. We pray for this grandmother on Brother Leroy's bus route with the cyst. Lord, I just pray that you would touch her body. And Lord, let her know that there's folks that care about her that are praying for her and wish her well. And Lord, if it be your will, that she accompany us here at the church soon. And Lord, we would love for her to know that she's saved, that she has salvation, Lord. So we pray for that in Jesus' name. Be with us now as we open your word and as we learn about your word. What a blessing we have to be able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. So we're continuing learning about the Word of God. The Word of God is our focus today. And we had mentioned last week as we were finishing up the lesson that the Scriptures are unique in four different ways. The Bible is unique in its production. It is unique in its preservation, and it's also unique in its proclamation, and so those are the four different ways that the Bible is unique. We saw that the Bible is God's message to man. He is the author and the giver of all truth and all knowledge. God, through His Spirit, gave every word by inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16 clearly says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then the Apostle Peter reveals how this took place by saying, and let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Now these are things we know, right? But sometimes we need to be reminded, it needs to be refreshed in our hearts and in our minds, so that on the morrow when someone were to ask you, hey, why do you say what you say about the Word of God? I had an individual call into the office today, and or this week. I keep saying today, don't I? This week. A lot of has happened today, hasn't it? Already by 10 o'clock. Called in this week, and this individual was seeking help, but the phone call was very, very, very strange. And my spiritual feelers went, you know, the little antenna started going beep, 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 beep. And you know what I ended up asking this individual? I said, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in the Word of God? Yes. Do you believe the Word of God is true? Because they were asking me a question and trying to get me to answer in a certain way. And I don't know if they were trying to trip me up. I don't know if they were actually... But it just felt different, right? And I said, have you ever asked Christ to come into your heart to be your Savior? Click. Done. End of conversation. The Word of God is amazing. And Okay, I got to say this. This is something as I was mulling over this this lesson. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God. And the Word what? Okay. So, the Word was God. Would it be safe to say the Word is God? Okay. Now, hold that thought. And I'll just kind of show you how Dan's brain works. It's very weird, okay? Go back to the Old Testament. Remember, Christ had set up a system of sacrifice. And wherever they traveled, they had to set up a portable tent that was the tabernacle, right? And within that tabernacle, there was a special place called the Holiest of Holies. Only a priest could enter to approach God, and literally the glory of God would descend in this place. It was a special place. It was so special that when the priest entered into this place, they had to tie a rope around his leg. Part of the garments of the priest had some bells on it, and it wasn't just bling bling, it was bells for a purpose. They needed to hear the priest moving about. Because if they did not hear the priest moving about for an extended period of time, they would yank on the rope to see if he was still alive. Because if he wasn't alive, and you say, well, why would he not be alive? If he had not gone through the proper procedure of cleansing that was outlined in Scripture by God, and he started to perform the duties, he would die instantly, just as those who touched the Ark of the Covenant by accident died. Okay? So you're getting the point. It was a special place. God, the glory of God, abode there. God descended and dwelt there. And that's where the priests came. That was the system for that time. Now, since the cross, from the cross on, the Holy Spirit of God, at the moment of salvation, comes and sets up shop in our heart. Is that not true? Is that not correct? We literally, the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that ye have of God, that He gave you, and you're not your own, for you've been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit of God abides in every believer. That same Holiest of Holies in the Old Testament. And why is it that as a human being, we can believe the one thing, but we have a hard time believing that that same glory, that same holiness that descended and abode in that temple in the Holiest of Holies is the exact same glory, God, holy, perfect that abides in the believer. Right. Now I'm going to tie that in with John 1:1. You say, man, your brain is weird. I know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word. The Word is God. That's why I don't take my Bible and throw it across the room. You say, well, it's just pages and ink. No. The Bible says the Word of God is quick, which if you look at that root word, it means alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can go in and it enters and it does a work in the heart. It discerns thoughts. It discerns intentions and attitudes because it is powerful, because it is alive. Okay? That is the Word of God. That's what we have. So it's unique. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Can someone read that out loud for me, please? Anyone? Okay, thank you. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. What's in this book wasn't something that was designed by man. You know, they went, ooh, I'm getting the warm and fuzzies, and so I'm just going to write something down because I'm feeling it today. They didn't do that. The Bible says, but holy men of God spake or wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost impressed upon them and inspired them to write what they wrote. Every word in the Word of God, which is why, and we looked at this last week, although we may not completely understand it, we can stand firm in our belief and trust in God's holy Word. It's interesting, and I'll read this here in just a moment, but a little over 40 men, over a period of 1,600 years, is when the Bible was written, in a period of 1,600 years. By the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to write the Word of God without error. It's as if one person wrote it, and no one verse contradicts the other. How does that happen humanly? And the answer is, it doesn't. It does not. We can't hardly play that. You know the game telephone that we used to play with? Maybe it's not called that. Maybe it's called something else. But, you know, you'd get in a little circle and then you'd whisper in somebody's ear. You'd whisper a statement and then they would have to whisper to the next person. And then you find out what it is at the very end. We can't hardly do that in five people and we've already skewed everything up. How in the world do you think a human being over a period of 1,600 years and 40 different individuals come up with something that we call the Word of God? It's not possible. It's not humanly possible. So it is a supernatural process. It's unique in its production. The Bible is to be our sole authority in everything. It is the textbook of divine truth, and it is the guidebook to everlasting life. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. From the very beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, the Word, was from the very beginning. Amen. That's why. It's also unique in its preservation. The word Bible, we found out, is derived from the Greek word biblos, meaning a book, contains 66 books, and we mentioned that last week as well. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, totally accurate in its recording of history and prophecy, fitting together as though one man wrote it without one contradiction. I remember when I was a kid, I believe we were in, just outside of Knoxville, is the town of Cleveland just outside of Knoxville? There's a city or a town of Cleveland. We had some friends called the...
Near Chattanooga.
near Chattanooga, okay, called the Burrises. We were at their house. I was a kid, but I specifically remember looking at an old TV, like a black and white TV, and there was a public station. And on that public station, I remember seeing where a group of expeditionists had found on Mount Ararat the remains of what appeared to be an ark. And they were stepping it off. They saw the outline. Now, so much of it had already been deteriorated to the point that all there was just the outline in the ground. And no sooner had that come out than all of a sudden it was gone. You don't hear about it. It's not in National Geographic that I know of. They didn't make a big movie out of it, and they didn't send a submarine clear to the bottom of the ocean to check it out. No, it's hushed. It's hushed. Why? Because it was accurate. Some of the measurements that they were coming up with and they were sending back and they were wiring back, some of those measurements were precise to what the Bible says. How many times have we heard of that? Even I remember hearing not too long ago, and it was in some article hidden in some publication, but they found they had stepped off Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and that story and everything, and they literally had stepped off what they thought to be an area where Lot and his wife were exiting and leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. And they found a chunk of salt where there's no salt. And there's just a big bunch of salt in a big lump right in the same area. You know, but that got hushed up too, because that would make the story somewhat believable, would it not? So the Bible is unique in its preservation, and it is accurate. God not only moved men, inspiration, to say the very words that they were to speak, 2 Peter 1:21, but He has also watched over the writing, over the recording, and the translating. Yes, there has been a lot of translating of the Word of God. How many languages today? I don't know the exact number, but there are hundreds of languages today that still do not have the Word of God in their language. We have missionaries that are supported by local Baptist churches that are translators. They're Bible translators. And they go into these villages and they learn the culture and the language, and they take and they translate the Bible. We had a friend we met at a missions conference, a single lady that went, and that was her passion. And that was her wheelhouse. She loved it. And she was talking about all that. And so there's translations of the Word of God, but it has been preserved. You say, "Well, I don't know, Brother Dan. I don't know if we can trust God to work using human instrumentality." I don't know. I think He did a pretty good job, don't you? I think He did a pretty good job. So we accept the Scriptures today as infallible, which means incapable of error. It's the infallible Word of God. It's completely inspired, and it is undoubtedly preserved by God. We have some verses that we can read. Psalm chapter 12. It's a beautiful Psalm chapter 12. Will someone read Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7? Amen. It's interesting the wording, "Thou shalt preserve them, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation." Yeah, we have to preserve it from the generation, because so many want to get in there and change it up. But God will preserve His word. Number three, the Bible is unique in its proclamation. Over 25% of the Bible was prophetic in nature when it was written. It touches the subjects of heaven and hell, eternal salvation, and also eternal damnation. If you believe in eternal salvation, then you also must believe in eternal damnation. You can't have it both ways. Eternity past, eternity future, it cuts to the heart of all the major issues of life. No other book was so profoundly influenced by the course of history in the lives of men than the Bible. And according to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read that verse because we referred to it just a few minutes ago. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says this: For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will do that. And it does a beautiful job. That is why our pastor can be preaching a message, and he's preaching it out of the Word of God, and he's using God's Word, and then God will speak to you about something could be totally unrelated. It could be a totally unrelated because it is quick and it knows each individual heart. In this room, we have many personalities, we have many temperaments, and we have many needs. And every need and personality and temperament is different. But the Holy Spirit of God can take God's word and He can go and He can take care of every single need, every single personality, everything He can take care of individually. And most of the time, 99% of the time, I don't have a clue what's going on in your heart. And the Holy Spirit of God just sweeps through and He does a number. Because it's powerful. Amen? It's powerful. It has the power to change lives. I have seen people get saved and start growing in the Word of God. And I have seen God totally transform their life. I have seen mentalities change. I have seen the Holy Spirit of God, without me harping at stuff with a new believer, I've seen the Holy Spirit of God move in, and they'll come to me and they'll say, Brother Dan, this is not right, is it? And I said, you're right, it's not right, according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God. You knew that all along, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Well, why didn't you say anything? I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell you. Because if I tell you, then there's a chance you can get mad at me. Right? Do you remember the children of Israel at the bottom of the mountain? And they heard the voice of God. There's like thunder going on and clapping of thunder and lightning and everything like that. And what did the children of God say? The children of Israel, they said, hey, we would rather Moses come talk to us. Send Moses. We'll listen to him. We would rather a human instrument talk to us than to have God swipe our heart and say, hey, pay attention. Straighten up. Because we know we can get by. We know we can dismiss human instrumentality. But with God, you don't monkey around. And so it's unique in its proclamation. It can change lives. And then lastly, the Bible is unique in its purpose. Time and space do not allow us to list all the wonderful purposes and the benefits of God's Word. That in and of itself is what makes God's Word so powerful and unique. God uses His Word in every believer's life to accomplish His specific plan and purpose. And it's amazing how one verse or one passage can be read by so many different people, and yet it touches each life in a very different and unique way. It says the same thing to everyone, but applies and speaks and convicts in just the right way in each person's life. Like, God's Word is active in our salvation. 1 Peter 1:23 and Romans 10:17. God's word will keep us from sin. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. God's word shows us the right direction to take in life. Psalm 119, 105. The Bible says in Proverbs, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct your paths. He will show you. His will is not a mystery. He doesn't hide it from us. Yes, ma'am.
Bonnie Anderson.
Paging Bonnie Anderson. Thank you, Miss Bonnie. No, that's great. There's a lot going on right now today, so it's a great thing. Also, God's word can transform our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've read it before. It bears repeating. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice implies a death, but it says a living death, meaning you literally die to self. You present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can know that you are in God's perfect and acceptable will. You can know that. And you know that by the Word of God. It will transform our life. We're going to end right here. Next week, we're going to look at the importance of the Bible in the believer's life. And it's so neat. It's so much. There's so much involved in the Word of God. And I love the fact that no matter how many years you have in Christ, you can always learn something new from the Word of God. Always learn something new from the Word of God. I may have mentioned this before, but this is one of my dad's Bibles. He had, when he passed away and we cleaned out his study, he had 35 English Bibles, not counting the Spanish Bibles. He was a missionary for 34 years in Mexico. But he had 35 English Bibles. Never went to Bible college. Not that I'm against Bible college. I'm for Bible college. But he never went to Bible college. He got saved. A year later, they went to language school. And then a year and a half after that, they went into Mexico. And this was his guidebook. And if you'll look in here, all this marking, every single one of those 35 Bibles were marked from front to back. How and when he did that, I have no idea. And I lived in the same house that he lived in. And we worked like crazy. When he ever had time to do that, but he did. The Word of God. And they tell, that many, I remember hearing pastors tell him that the ministry that he led in Mexico was one of the most biblical ministries that they had seen. Why would that be? Because of the Word of God. The Word of God is undervalued, and it's underappreciated in our day. We need to get back to the Word of God. It needs to be our guide. Listen, there's a lot of books out there. Have you noticed? Do you remember? Now, I'm dating myself, but I remember going into a Bible bookstore when I was a kid, and they had pencils and erasers with God loves you and the smiled face and all that on it. And then all they had was Bibles. There was Bibles everywhere. Now, they have a Bible section. And it's clear in the back. And there's an entire variety of them. Right? And everything else is trinkets and self-help books and movies and music. And everything like that. Why? We've gotten away from this being the primary focus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We love you. We love your word. We love what you say in your word. Help us to continue to make it our goal to seek you in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord,